The story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus is a special one to me, an important one at an important point in my life. And I, if you don't mind, I was going to share with you why that is briefly. I remember hearing it while driving through Iowa in the spring of 1993. To let you know why I was driving through Iowa in the spring of 1993, after college, where I had been a double major in philosophy and cinema, film, I had first gone to graduate school in philosophy for a couple of years and quickly determined that was not the path my life was meant to take. Then I had gone out to Southern California, to Hollywood, to try the film side of things, to seek my fame and fortune in Hollywood. And fortunately, I found neither fame or fortune. So, and quickly discovered again, that path was also a bit of a dead end. That was not what I was called to do. So in the spring of 1993, I was driving with all my worldly possessions in my car and a little U-Haul trailer back to Ohio. I wasn't really sure where my life was headed. I had plans. I was going to be going to graduate school again in history this time, but I was feeling a little adrift. Wasn't sure where I was headed, what I was supposed to do. Everything had felt kind of random and dead ends up to this point in my life. My dreams had sort of gone nowhere. That's sort of where these two disciples find themselves in the story in Luke 24. Their dreams about Jesus seem to have come to a dead end, and they're headed out of town. They're journeying on the road to Emmaus, not really sure what's next. Well, so as I was driving through Iowa on I-80, and the great thing about driving through that part of the country, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, is it's straight and flat, and there's lots of time to think. You know, driving around here, you can't really take a lot of time to think because you're doing this. You stop and think while you're driving, you might end up down the side of the mountain. That's also true of using your cell phone while driving, just as a public service announcement. But anyway, on this day, driving through Iowa, I was having lots of time to think. And these were also the days before satellite radio, when listening to the radio, you were at the whim of whatever station you could pick up for those few miles. And I picked up a worship service that Sunday morning, driving through Iowa. And this was the passage they were reading and the sermon was on. And I remember how this passage struck me. Again, I identified with these disciples journeying on the road, uncertain, a little disappointed. And they encounter Jesus along the road, although they don't know it's Jesus. But they encounter Jesus. And it struck me as I was on this road, not just the road through Iowa, but the road of life itself, that maybe Jesus was with me that day, and I had no clue about it. And I didn't get any real clear vision of where my life was headed that day, but I got a little glimmer of hope that maybe what had seemed pretty random up to that point was not so random, that maybe it was all leading somewhere. I didn't know where yet, and eventually it was going to lead to seminary and to right here. But I had no clue about any of that. But that day, because of this passage, I found a little hope that maybe Jesus was there with me, even though I had no clue about it. There is hope in this passage for those of us on the road. And I'm reminded of a quote from C.S. Lewis, who said, "God can use even the wrong road to get you to the right place, because God is always with you. And if you let God do the steering, you'll get to where you're supposed to go, even if you don't know anything about it." There's something else that is interesting to me in this passage, both of our passages, actually. Where are we headed on this road? Craig Barnes, the president of Princeton Seminary, in reflecting on this quote from C.S. Lewis that I just mentioned, God can use even the wrong road to lead us to the right place, said, you know, the right place where we're all headed is the divine heart. Did you notice the references to heart in both of our readings this morning? As Peter is preaching to the people in Jerusalem, we're told that they were all cut to the heart. What Peter said went right into them, and they turned around. That's the whole meaning of repentance, to turn around, to turn your heart, and they believed. And in the story of the road to Emmaus, do you notice as Jesus joins the disciples, they don't know it's Jesus, and starts talking to them, he says to them, and I always picture him speaking with a bit of a smile on his face, "Oh, you are foolish. You are so slow of heart," he says to them. But then after they recognize Jesus as they're breaking bread and he disappears, they turn to each other and say, "Weren't our hearts burning within us? We should have known it was Jesus on the road." Notice how the heart plays a role in both these readings. And not just in these readings. A couple years ago, I started noticing how often the word heart appears throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, in the prophetic books, in the historic books, in the Psalms, in the Gospels, in the letters of Paul. Reference after reference to heart. In fact, I started highlighting and circling all these. And my Bible is full of highlighted references to heart. Our journey on this road of faith is a journey of the heart. It's a journey to God's heart, and it's a journey we are to be led by our heart. Now, don't let me put down the mind and education and all of that, which is so important. But I learned as a philosophy major and a philosophy grad student that the mind can only take you so far. And in fact, the mind can deceive you once in a while. You know, the mind is the part of us that has those worries and anxieties. Oh, should I do this? Oh, let's weigh the pros and cons. I'm not sure about this. At least for me, it's always my mind who says, "Do you really think you should do that?" Now, sometimes that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But I slowly am learning in my life, if I follow my heart, which often says something very different than my mind, I often end up in a place closer to where God wants me to be. Sometimes we are slow of heart. Sometimes our hearts are hardened. One of the most famous references to the heart in Scripture is about Pharaoh dealing with Moses. And Scripture says again and again and again, his heart was hardened towards Moses. As we journey on the road like these disciples, I think part of our task is to make sure our hearts are soft, that God can work on the heart, that our hearts are open to where God might be leading us. I've often wondered, why couldn't the disciples recognize Jesus? He was walking right with them. He was even talking about himself. I suspect their minds were getting in the way. You know, logically, they said, "Jesus is dead." And they couldn't see him right there because their minds kept saying, "He's dead." But notice at the end, they say, "Oh, our hearts were burning. Our hearts knew it was Jesus. And we missed it." So I have two suggestions for you in this week ahead. The first is, as you are journeying on your road this week, know that Jesus will be there with you. And keep your eyes open. Jesus comes in all sorts of interesting ways. Remember last week I was mentioning all the ways people think about Jesus, what he looks like, and we have our own view. But don't let your mind and your assumptions get in the way. Look for Jesus this week. You will encounter Jesus this week. It may be in the laughter of a child, or the singing of a bird, or a flower, or a dog that comes running into the middle of the worship service. But you will encounter Jesus. So be looking for Jesus this week. And secondly, this week, follow your heart. Perhaps you've been stewing over a decision. Perhaps there's been something bothering you, keeping you up at nights recently. Try putting it out of your mind for a bit and follow your heart this week, prayerfully. Let God work on your heart a bit and see where it takes you. Because more and more I firmly believe if we follow our hearts and let God work on our hearts, they will not steer us wrong as we travel on this road. Amen.